Back here on this Wednesday morning, I'm Sam Speck, joined in studio by a couple of K-State Extension agents. It's Barbara Ames and Jacob Weber joining us back here in studio. Man, oh man, lots of courses to hit on. The Farmer's Market, Hemp Informational Meeting, and the Stay Strong, Stay Healthy. We hit that in the 7 o'clock hour, and you can listen back to these, of course, on our website. But, Jacob, you had mentioned, I know all of us are probably, you know, slowly but surely inching towards a healthy gardening season. But with that, you guys also have a class.
Getting a little bit of gardening fever already. It's starting to warm up. But new thing we're trying this year, and this is to target youngsters and get them interested in gardening and provide some tips and techniques and information. It's called the 4-H Gardening Institute, and it's available for any youngster and their parents, and we're going to do one of these workshops in each of the four offices or the counties in the Wildcat District. excuse me. The workshop begins about 9 o'clock in the morning. We're going to go about 11, about 2 hours, a little break in between. We'll have a little bit of fun and stuff. Don't know if there's going to be a little registration fee with it or not. I have to talk with our director first about that. But March, this is going to be during spring break week. March 11th, I'm going to do it in Fredonia. I don't have the location yet there. We're going to either do it at the, there's two places there potentially, and I probably better not say which one because I don't know for sure myself. And then March 12th, this Fredonia course is the Wilson County area, and March 12th in Labette County area, and that'll be in Parsons at the Southeast Area Extension Research and Extension Center. And then March 13th in Independence at the Ag Building there, just north of the Super 8 Motel and by the new medical center up there. And then March 14th in Girard in the Crawford County area. And we're going to have James Coover presenting a lesson about soils and fertilizer. Jerry Guerin's going to talk about composting, and I'm going to talk about garden pests and pest control, pest management. And then also we're going to have a little discussion about gardening tools and tips. And then Katie Rowling, the 4-H agent, is going to be heading up a pumpkin contest, grow pumpkin contest, and we'll work that details out on that, and that will be a kind of a gardening activity for the kids to participate in, grow some pumpkins, well, I'm sure that'll be the biggest pumpkin we'll do. I think we're going to have a little contest within each county, then district-wide contest as well. So we're going to get all those details out. Interested in it, give us a call at any of the four offices in the Wildcat District. Talk to the 4-H agents. It's not restricted to 4-H, but it's designed. It'll be designed for kids, and of course the lessons are not going to be very long. There'll be some. We're going to make sure that they have some activities, get up and move around a little bit during the program. So gardening, learning some gardening tips, some gardening techniques.
Yeah, and always what I took away as from a kid, learning as a kid, was the interaction, you know, getting up, doing things with my hands, sometimes learning by lecture. But, you know, I was a very fidgety kid. I still am now, but I can control it, you know. But back then it was just I had to move, had to get up and around. And, you know, when teachers would direct something that was interactive that I could physically do, I was all over it. I was so much about it. And then also I will always say this as well, when you expose kids to something at a young age, it works both ways, positively and is, well, probably both positively really with it, but it really shows them if this is something they want to do, they're going to either like it or really dislike it. And again, that's both a positive because then it kind of steers them into their right path. And again, if they're a pretty darn good gardener and they like to do it, hey, they're going to learn from a young age and probably continue to do it for a long, long time. So,
yep.
So I'll tell you what, it's good to have those courses for the kiddos as well, and that's a cool event. So you guys will have more information kind of pending, but anything interesting, anything like that, just give a call to your extension offices locally as well. And then it looks like you guys have one more class as well.
Yeah, we do. Coming up on February the 19th, our family and consumer sciences agents from around the district are getting together and to have what we're calling the Learning for Better Living Workshop. It's going to start at 10 a.m. and go till about 2, I believe, in the afternoon. We're going to start out at 10 o'clock with Kylie Ludwig, and she's going to be talking about retirement, managing life after retirement. You know, we start thinking about retirement, and we usually think about the financial part of it, but it's a little bit more than finances. Excuse me. So she's going to talk about a whole lot of different things to do with retirement. And then at 11 o'clock, I'm going to be talking on a subject called Choose Wisely for Health and Wealth. And we're going to be finding out how our daily food choices can actually help improve our health and potentially save some money on healthcare costs. And then if you want to come for the whole day, you can bring a lunch. We'll be eating lunch about 11:45. And then we'll come back with Tara Solomon-Smith at 12:15, and she's going to be talking about everyday mindfulness and helping reduce stress in our lives and so forth. So it's there's not registration, and there's no fee. You can just come for any one of the classes that you're interested in, or you can bring your lunch and spend the whole day with us. And it's going to be at the Southeast Area K-State Research and Extension Facility there in Parsons.
Great. Yeah. And these types of events are the ones that I really like, because it is a lot of times where people just, they don't want to put the effort towards it because they think it's too much work. These courses aren't a life changing, you know, it's not a 180 degree turn. It's simple things that you can do that are easy, that you kind of overlook on your regular day basis to make yourself healthier.
That's right. And we hope that you'll just come and, you know, get information. Not everything works for everybody, but you can come and get information and then choose things that work into your lifestyle and just make people's lives better, hopefully. Learning for Better Living is what we're calling it.
Yeah. I mean, there is so many subtle things. I know my friend for a long time, I need to probably do this as well. He had horrible back issues, and at one point he just started sitting on an exercise ball at work, and he would do kind of some leg exercises as well. And of course, he's now into exercising like
crazy.
That's
really good for your core. To get that exercise ball and sit on it.
But I mean, just sitting for me, especially, I'm sitting in a chair for sometimes 5-6 hours a day, and I could sit on that exercise ball and almost subconsciously be bettering myself. And there's many, many ways to do that in all forms of work as well. So it's a good little class there to kind of get some information on that. So
yeah,
come spend the whole day or part of the day even. So.
That's right.
Very neat. Very neat with that. And, well, with that, I think we've about wrapped up the amount of courses you got, with surprisingly so. Hey, you guys got a busy couple of months here to start the season as well. So what have you guys been hearing these last couple of weeks? Or, Jacob, I know we're inching closer to it. Any other preparation tips that you may have for our listeners out there on the garden?
Usually, years ago, this was a time when the gardening catalogs showed up, and we started daydreaming. And planning, and garden planning.
And storing the catalog.
Picking out things that, and then we get good and hungry. We see all those nice pictures of vegetables and fruits and things like that. And we think, okay, I'm going to plant some of this, I'm going to plant some of that. And then we get into the actual activity and find out, well, we don't quite have enough room. You have to make the garden bigger or cut out some of the things. And I know after a few years of experience, you kind of get some good ideas of what you can and can't do. And sometimes some of the crops are not worth the effort of growing. It all depends on your skills and your desires. And you find out that, you know, you grow a whole bunch of tomatoes, and all of a sudden you have a whole bunch of tomatoes all at once, and then that means, okay, processing and canning or freezing, and then it becomes a little bit bigger activity. So garden planning is very important, and one of the good tools that's available, excuse me, that little frog keeps creeping in.
It's been hopping to the station, I'm telling you.
Good gardening tools. If you like a hard copy of this, it's the Kansas Garden Guide, and it's about 95-page publication. You can order one from the K-State Research and Extension and get a hard copy. I like hard copies. But if you want to go cheap, free, you can download a PDF copy very easy.
And today's day, you can download anything, right?
It's on your computer, and you can sit and read it at your leisure. I don't even know, is it possible to put on a little iPad or something like
I'm
that?
I'm sure, like a Kindle or something like that.
Yeah, or Kindle, yeah, you can do, I bet you can do that. I don't know for sure, but anyway, the Kansas Garden Guide's available, and it has these tables and recommendations. You want to grow enough food for, say, four people, you can look at the table and it'll give you a guideline as to maybe how much you want to plant, how many feet of row you want to plant of something. This kind of gives you an idea. However, gardening skills vary and locations vary. The soil and quality of the soil, quality of growing conditions vary quite a bit. So it's just a guide. It's not a hard set rules. You want to feed a family of four, you plant so many feet of potatoes. And, it can change quite a little bit. So you kind of have to temper that with a little bit of reality. But the Kansas Garden Guide, very excellent publication, and is for Kansas and also surrounding states. It works very well as well because it targets the central United States area as far as production, and gives some of the typical pest and pest controls. It doesn't give the recommendations for pesticides, but it gives you some ideas of what you can do to manage pests. Then the soil management, soil testing information, it's all wrapped up in one publication. Good publication. Get a Kansas Garden Guide. Download for free. If you need some help in finding it on the internet, you can call us at the extension office. But if you have a good search engine, just type in these words, these search words, extension, put that word in, and then that kind of gets, it kind of targets research and extension. Then type in Kansas Garden Guide, and that'll probably be the first hit, and it'll be a PDF document, and you can download it for free.
So here's a question for you. Obviously, the spacing is pretty important within the garden. You don't want tomatoes growing over your corn or whichever all
right.
over the place. Some pretty specific placement with that. But at the same time, is there two different things that really just shouldn't be in the same garden together or whichever? I guess my question bases off of my dad's garden back in the day. We tried to plant two rows of corn, and you could just tell the next three rows of everything else was dried out unbelievably, didn't hardly grow at all. So, I mean, is there specific things that really just shouldn't be next to each other, or was that the soil that was affected?
I don't have a good answer for that because the interaction with one plant and another, but proper thing is to allow adequate space between plants, between crops, and between rows. And that information is given in the garden. Kansas Garden Guide spacing, and that's very important because if we crowd too much together, everything suffers, and your end result is you have lower production because you're basically growing plant at expense of growing a crop. So we want to pay attention. If you need more plants, work up more garden space, or limit the number of plants you get, you get more crop, and the end result is you have more satisfaction from your garden. And I also have to remember how much time do you have to devote to it. Some folks just love gardening and can't spend enough time out in the garden. Other folks love to garden but have a lot of other activities. Kids go to ball games, stuff like that. And pretty soon, the weeds take over the garden, so you may have to reduce the size of the garden for a period of time while we do the other activities. And as you grow into a different set of activities that require less time for those activities, you can increase the amount of time you devote to gardening. It's a good exercise, by the way. It keeps you healthy, and you grow your own vegetables and fruits. I have
those
a strawberry
keep you
patch.
Healthy too.
Yeah, it keeps you healthy. Barb?
Yeah, healthy physical activity and healthy fruits and vegetables, and getting those children involved, like we were talking about with 4-H. A lot of times they'll want to eat fruits and vegetables that they grow, that they're involved with, that they get to help choose, where sometimes, veggies, they don't want to even try them. But if they're in the garden growing them, then they're going to want to try those. And They become better eaters, and of course, that improves your health when you get those fruits and veggies in there.
I can kind of relate to that a little bit, because my grandpa was a huge gardener, and whenever we'd go visit his house, it was, he'd almost hand it to me, you know, he'd grab a tomato off the vine, wash it off a little bit, and here's, hey, eat it, and I'd eat it like an apple, or, yeah. You know, and nowadays, I can eat any veggie, really. I love any vegetable, and yeah, it surprises me, you know. There's people out there that are disgusted, I mean, literally disgusted by a vegetable, and I don't understand, so, I guess maybe the corn just wiped out the water and the nutrients on one side of the garden then, because we were baffled. I mean, I think, does corn take an abundance of water in comparison, or
the plant itself, being taller, mm-hmm. will shade nearby plants.
Oh, that's
so
true as well.
you got a little bit of competition, especially if you got you're getting your plants too close to the corn. There's some definite competition between the plants, and you also have variability in the soil too. That's another issue, the quality of soil, and it could be especially in urban settings where the soil has been disturbed for construction purposes. You can go 1 foot in one direction and have much different quality soil because of that purpose. As a result, it's always good to work on soil improvement, and that soil improvement by adding organic residues to the soil, organic residues in the form of compost, excellent addition. It does take a few years to improve the quality of the soil. So you're adding compost at maybe 3 to 4 bushels per 100 square foot per year for a few years, and you can reduce it down to maybe 1 bushel per 100 square foot after that. But it does take some time to build the quality of the soil, and there's a definite improvement. Also, a little soil testing. If you're low in certain plant nutrients, of the major plant nutrients, we always assume that we can always use a little bit of nitrogen, not a whole lot, so really don't test for that. But the phosphate and the potash levels, if they are low, then adding those maybe on a yearly basis for a few years improves the storehouse of those nutrients in the soil that the plants need. And of course, the minor nutrients, they're generally a sufficient quantity of those, and if you're adding compost every year, you're going to take care of all the minor nutrients that the plants need. But the major nutrients, we call them macronutrients, are the ones that are important and that we test for, so we can do that soil testing.
Yeah. And again, a lot of that information within that gardening guide. Jacob, did you get your hardback, I'm assuming, already this year then?
My what?
The hardback book of the guide already?
Oh, I already have a copy of it.
Yeah, I figured. You already have a copy of it. Again, that's Jacob Weber and Barbara Ames joining us here this morning on this Wednesday from the K-State Extension offices. Well, guys, we'll just check in with you next Wednesday.
Okay. All right. Take care.
The Mighty 690 KGGF.